Ramunatiravarachari Dayakunda Vihari Ramunatiravarachari Dayakunda Vihari ba la ba da giri vara da ri da giri vara da ri Balava Jaya Giri Varadari Jaya Giri Varadari Yasoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Jaya Braja Jana Ranjana Shiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jamuna Shiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Paramahamsa Pravidakacharya Asatara Sadushi Sriman His Divine Grace Shalesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Nidai Gaura Premanande All glorious to the Assumed Devotees All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Namaste Sarasatun Deva Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarne. Om Agyanativanandas Yaganjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanyamanovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Aiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragadatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Svitamscha Hey Krishna, Karna Sindo, Dinavando Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostate, Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Vavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 31. Translation. While the ladies of the capital of Hastinapur were greeting him and talking in this way, the Lord, smiling, accepted their good greetings, and casting the grace of his glance over them, he departed from the city. Text 32. Ajata Shatrur Pitanam Pitra Pritanam Gopitaya Madhudvisha Parebya Sankita Snehat Prayungta Chatur Anginim. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Marja Yudhisthira, although no one's enemy, engaged four divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot, and army to accompany Lord Krishna. The enemy of the Asuras, demons. The enemy of the Asura, demons. Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of affection for the Lord. Purport. Natural defensive measures are horses and elephants combined with chariots and men. Horses and elephants are trained to move to any part of the hills or forests and plains. The charioteers could fight with many horses and elephants by the strength of powerful arrows, even up to the standard of the Brahmastra, similar to modern atomic weapons. Maharaj Yudhisthira knew well that Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher, and yet there were asuras who were by nature envious of the Lord. So out of fear of attack from others and out of affection also, engaged all varieties of defensive forces as bodyguards of Lord Krishna. If required, Lord Krishna himself was sufficient to defend himself from the attack of others who counted the Lord as their enemy. But still he accepted all the arrangements made by Maharaj Yudhisthira because he could not disobey the king who was his elder cousin. The Lord played the part of a subordinate in his transcendental sportings, and thus sometimes he put himself in the care of Jasomata for his protection in the so-called helplessness of childhood. That is the transcendental lila, or the pastime of the Lord. The basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and his devotees is exhibited to enjoy a transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison, even up to the level of Brahmanda, Brahmananda. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Vidaya Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Kauravani Pacharne, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Devasatarne. Here it mentions that there are two classes of men in the world, as Krishna says, Dvau Bhuta Swargo Lokesmin, Daivim Asram Evacha, Daivim Visrasat Prota, Asrim Parthameshinu. That in this world there are two classes of created beings, the divine and the demoniac. So Krishna, he first of all explained about the divine qualities, such as abhayam sattva samashudhira jnana yoga vyavyastiti danam dhamma sujagnascha swadhyaya taparjuna ahimsa sattvam akrodas daya shantira daya pashinam daya bhutesh falolutvam Mordavan rir achapalam, teja shama driti salcham, adraho nati manita, bhavanti sampadam daivim, abhijatosi, Bharata. So, divine qualities include fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, sense and mind control, the giving in charity, performing of a sacrifice, the study of the Vedas, etc. There are different persons in this material world, and they have their particular duty to do. So all such duties are considered to be divine, because these duties are given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are another class of persons in the material world, and they're characterized by, Dumbo Dharpa Bhimanascha, Krodha Porosham Evacha, Agana Avijatasya, Partha Sampadam Asarim. So Dumbo means pride. And Dumbo Dharpa Bhimanascha, so pride, arrogance, conceit, harshness, anger, ignorance, these are qualities that are born of demoniac nature. So demoniac nature, how does one acquire these qualifications of becoming a demon? Arjuna had asked that in the third chapter. He asked, Kama Esha, Arjuna, Ata Kena, Priyukto Yam Papam Charati Purusha, Anichcha Napivarshneya, Balad Iva Niyojitaha. That, what is the force? Nowadays they talk about the force. So what is that force? The force that impels one to do sinful activities even when he doesn't want to do anything sinful. Of course, nowadays, people want to do things sinful. They feel embarrassed if they're not doing something sinful. And they think the more they act sinfully, the more the free they're becoming. As I mentioned before, Prabhupada was giving a lecture at one university, and he's explaining that if you act sinfully like a dog, then in your next lifetime you'll become a dog. So as one student stood up and said, Swamiji, I'd like you to know that I don't mind becoming a dog. I want to become a dog. And Prabhupada said, you have my blessings. So, people are anxious to become degraded. They think that this is advancement if they take a bath once every other day of Brahma. Or those who are more advanced, they take a bath every day of Brahma. If they don't cut their nails or hair or anything, if they're just free to do whatever they want, they think that that's freedom. They can't understand how they're becoming more and more entangled in the modes of material nature. So these are the qualities of the demons, but Arjuna wasn't considered to be a demon. Krishna said that, the demoniac qualities are conducive to dambena dambartam api chayavayat. Anyhow, these Krishna says masocha napi sampadam daivim avijatos ya pandava, that do not worry, O son of Pandu. The demoniac qualities, he say, lead to bondage, while the divine qualities lead to liberation. But do not worry, O son of Pandu, because you are born with divine qualities. In other words, what is the symptom of someone who's born with divine qualities is that they're hesitant to do the wrong thing. They think before they do something. The demons, they don't think. They just do whatever they want. And those who have divine qualities, they try to find out what is the proper thing to do. So here we find Krishna, he's on his way back. But even God, he is troubled by enemies. As a matter of fact, as Prabhupada said, as soon as one becomes a pure devotee, then he'll have so many enemies. Everyone will line up to try and attack him. So we may think, well, how is this possible? People are so nice in the material world. But actually, no one is very nice in the material world. Material world means not a very nice place. In the material world, everyone here has two qualities, Ichcha, Dvesha, Samutena, Dvanva, Mohena, Bharata, Sarva, Bhutani, Samoham, Sargeyanti, Parantapa. That all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the duality of desire and hate. So everyone has come to the material world because they hate the fact that Krishna is God. And they themselves want to become God. So with these two disqualifications, no one can actually claim that they're a nice person. Although everyone tries to put forward that I'm a nice guy. People should appreciate me, etc. But actually, no one in this material world is honest as long as one does not recognize his subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because everyone is living more or less a false conception of life. The false conception of life is that as soon as we identify ourselves with this body, then that's a false conception of life. And everything we do in that bodily concept of life is simply a further false conception of life. So as soon as one thinks I am this body, then naturally he'll think that so many things are mine. This body is mine, and things that are related to this body, they're also mine. But these qualities have been considered to be of the animal nature. Yatmabuddhi kunape tri taduke swadikala tradishu bhama idadi yatirtabude sanhale nakarhichish ganesh vabageshu saeva gokara. That anyone who thinks that I've taken birth in a certain land, and therefore this is a very special land, it's my land. People are proud of being Belgium, or from Belgium, or people are more proud of being from the United States, or from Russia, or something. Everyone is proud, but what is there to be proud of? What is the difference between the dirt in Russia and the dirt in America? Does the dirt in America, is it effulgent? Is it made out of Chintamani jewels? Anyone who touches it, they become spiritualized? No, it's the same dirt everywhere. But artificially, they've created these designations, and therefore, under these false conceptions, what is their real occupation? How to cheat each other, how to exploit each other, how to take advantage of each other as nicely as possible. As gentlemanly as possible. This is their expertise. If you can stab someone in the back and do it in such a way as he doesn't feel it, then you're considered to be quite advanced. Because, basically, the mentality in the material world is that of enviousness against God. And that enviousness against God is further manifested in enviousness against each and every living entity. To different degrees, in different ways. So Krishna, when he was here, even from the beginning of his life, he was God, he came here, but it wasn't that he had a nice, you know, he was born in a nice palatial house, he was born in a palace, but then he was immediately kicked out of the house he was in. He had to leave the house, he couldn't even stay there. And from the beginning of his childhood, demons were coming, big demons. Just like we may have little problems with our mind in our childhood, maybe some ghost haunts us. But here a witch, Putana, came 26 miles long to kill him. And then after he survived that attack, then a whirlwind came, picked him up and tried to throw him on the ground. And then a bull came, and so many different monsters were coming every day to kill him. So, it was not a very peaceful life. He's God himself, he's the ultimate controller, and he has a life full of problems and miseries. Because he's never miserable, but
from the external point of view, not a very peaceful existence. And then when he grew up, he finally got out of the village, he went to the city, and he spent the rest of the time killing millions of people. He'd kill one or two demons in the day when he was a coward boy, but when he became a warrior, then he'd kill so many people that it would create oceans of blood. And in the oceans of blood, there were little islands of the dead elephants, and there were seaweed coming from the hands and the legs of the dead soldiers, and there were pebbles made from the gold, and it was a horrible scene. And this is Krishna's, more or less, he was not an unusual time for Krishna to go out and kill 30 million Yavana soldiers or whatever. If we cut our finger and we see one drop of blood, you know, we're calling the ambulance. But what to speak if you're seeing people's heads are being cut off, you know, just like you mow the grass, so Krishna is mowing, cutting off people's heads, and the blood is spurting out everywhere. Very ghastly sin. So this is Krishna's daily affair. So although Krishna is God himself, so many people throughout his life, they're coming to kill him, attack him in ever greater numbers. And of course, Krishna is able to defend himself and he's able to kill them. But even God comes to the material world with so many problems. One time, Prabhupada was talking to one devotee and the devotee was complaining, "My Prabhupada, everyone is criticizing me. I can't do anything right." So Prabhupada said they criticize Lord Chaitanya. So the devotee thought that Prabhupada hadn't heard him correctly. So he again began to complain, "Prabhupada, everything I do seems to be wrong. Everyone's criticizing me." Prabhupada said, "Well, they criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And it's a fact, even God comes as Radharani, he doesn't try to harm anyone, tries to just keep to himself and chant the holy name. But still, people are coming, Ramachandra Khan, Ramachandra Puri, everyone is coming criticizing him. He's eating sweets secretly, or his devotees are secretly worshipping Durga. So many different things. So even he's God, but still there's so many people coming and criticizing him. So what to speak of ourselves? He's God, he does everything perfectly, and we are conditioned souls, we do everything imperfectly, so we cannot expect a peaceful life just because we became devotees, or that everyone's going to love and appreciate us. But still, Krishna here, he accepts subordination, although he himself can kill all the different demons who may attack him. And there are plenty of demons in the material world because more or less, especially in Kali Yuga, there are so many demons. But as Arjuna said, Saketi madva prasavam yuraktvam, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakati, ajanata mahimanam pramedam maya pramadat pranayena vapi, yatschava hasartama satkrito si vihara shayana shabhojane shu, ekopya vichutata tatsamaksham, tatshamaye tvamaham apramedam. That, my dear Krishna, thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you as, O Krishna, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever may I have done in madness or in love. We have jested many times while relaxing and laying on the same bed or in front of many friends. Please forgive me for all these offenses that I may have made to you. So Krishna, he takes pleasure out of being an ordinary person. Just like ourselves, if someone has an intimate relationship, then the result is that there's a certain amount of familiarity. The more intimate relationship there is, the more there is familiarity. Because in the material world, familiarity breeds contempt. But, for instance, if you're married to your wife for 30 years, and the only thing your wife does is come and she pays obeisances to you and you accept the obeisances and she can't talk to you except for 5 minutes a day and she has to write you a letter, Your Highness, please accept my obeisances. You're all, you know. So that relationship will not be very developed. Of course, nowadays it's probably the other way around. My dear Bhaktin so-and-so, please accept my most humble obeisances. I'm falling at your feet 1,000 times, flattering you. Please give me the dust of your lotus feet. In any case, there is going to be, this type of relationship is not going to produce a very intimate relationship. That there has to be some sense of at least equality. And then the relationship becomes more intimate. So Krishna, he's the Rasa Raj. He's the king of all mellows, of all relationships. So certainly he takes the greatest pleasure out of the most intimate relationships he has. He enjoys more being chastised by the words of the gopis, or the queens of Dwarka, who criticize him. Just like Radharani was criticizing, who is this cowherd boy? He's gone off and left us, but we should have known it because we heard from Purnamasi that in the previous incarnation, some lady came when he was a Kshatriya, as Ramachandra, and asked for an intimate relationship. And although by his duty he should have fulfilled her desire, instead he cut off her ears and nose. What kind of person we're dealing with? Just to, because he took the friend side of one friend, he stood behind a tree and he slew Bali, just like a hunter. He couldn't even face him directly. So, what kind of person we're dealing with? We should have known better before we got involved with such a deceitful person. So, Krishna enjoys this exchanges. Of course, it's done out of love, not out of envy, out of deep feelings of affection for Krishna. But Krishna enjoys these loving reciprocations with his devotees. Of course, we cannot imitate these relationships and come up to the deity with a rope. My dear Radha Gopinath, you've been bad. You're not eating your prasadam. So if you don't start eating the prasad, we're going to bind you up with a rope. So we cannot imitate the transcendental, the more elevated devotees. That in the beginning one has to serve in awe and reverence. But by serving in awe and reverence, gradually Krishna reveals himself, and then the natural affection and love for Krishna is awakened. That's called Krishna consciousness. So here Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's on a very elevated platform. He's simply telling Krishna that I want you to, you know, be protected by my army. And it says Krishna can't refuse. That Krishna, he feels obligated by his devotees to such an extent that Draupadi, she one time called out, "Hey Govinda," and Krishna says, repeatedly remembering this cry of Draupadi, I'm becoming more and more indebted to her. So who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he never forgets anything, and even a little service rendered by his devotee, he eternally becomes obligated to them. So what to speak of a pure devotee like Maharaj Yudhisthira, who's completely surrendered and is dedicated to Krishna's service. Then Krishna reciprocates, samaham sarvabhuteshu name dvaishtosti napriyaha. Although Krishna is equal to everyone, he's not equal to the devotees. He takes special consideration for the devotees, and he himself is a devotee. He's known as Bhaktivatsal. If the devotee is surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna is even more surrendered to the devotee. Therefore, as I mentioned yesterday, one devotee is praying that who is a better person to take shelter of, that Putana came to kill him and Krishna killed her, but she got the same position as Mother Jasoda. So who could be more merciful than Krishna? And another devotee said, but why should I worship Krishna? I'll worship the Nanda Maharaj, because Krishna as a small boy is crawling in his yard. So Krishna is so wonderful that although he is so infinitely powerful, that out of affection and love for his devotees, he becomes a small child. And when the gopis are clapping, then he's dancing according to their clapping. When Nanda Maharaj and Jasoda Mayi are telling Krishna, Mother Jasoda is saying, oh, Nanda Maharaj is asking Jasoda, so your Krishna, he can do something? He can bring my slippers? So Mother Jasoda, yes, your Krishna, he's very powerful, he can bring the slippers. So Krishna is struggling to put the slippers of Nanda Maharaj on his head, and he's finally doing it, but with great difficulty, and then bringing the slippers to Nanda Maharaj. So this is God. People will not be able to understand it. One has to become a devotee in order to understand these things. So I'll stop there. If you want any questions, you can ask Srimati Radharani. She knows all about these things. So are there any questions? Yeah, that I can answer.
You're expecting that as soon as someone becomes a pure devotee, you get so many enemies. I remember this verse from Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma. If a person is a pure soul engaged in devotional service and he's controlling his mind and senses, he becomes friend to everyone, and everyone becomes his friend. So it seems like.
Yoga Yukta Vishudatma Vititatma Jitendriha Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma Kurvanatni Nalipyate. Yeah, everyone is his friend in the sense that everyone is helping him advance in devotional service. He's trying to get everyone to advance in devotional service, and he sees that everyone is helping him advance. And Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna. He was killing so many people, but he did it on behalf of Krishna, therefore they were all benefited. And similarly, they were trying to kill him, but he saw that they were engaging him in Krishna's service. So although people may not realize it, but for a devotee, he sees everyone as Krishna's instrument to help him advance in devotional service. And that way everyone becomes his friend. But certainly Haridas Thakur, even we can see, the people who were beating him weren't doing out of affection and love when they dragged him through 26 marketplaces. It wasn't out of friendship that they did that. But he saw it that this is Krishna's arrangement. And indeed it was Krishna's arrangement that he's glorified. That he was so tolerant that he was able to endure the treatment and remember Krishna. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu, his own son he was trying to kill. Not very friendly. But still the devotees, they don't take anyone as their friend or enemy. They see everyone as Krishna's instrument. And that way everyone becomes their friend. Yes.
We get born with divine
or demonic qualities? Yeah, sure. Yeah, from previous births. Just like certain people are naturally attracted to Krishna consciousness, which is certainly, the sign of some kind of previous pious activities. And other people are naturally averse to Krishna consciousness. Some people have certain qualities they're born with, and other people different qualities. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.